feeding your passion for local sports in the afternoon. It's the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper on your radio at 1140 AM.
Streaming audio at SacktownSports.com and the Sacktown Sports app.
You can also watch the show on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
What a special, special Friday. We have the 49ers coming up Sunday in the NFC Championship game. Hear the game here, of course, on Sacktown Sports. And we celebrate, I don't know, Kyle Draper, win of the year for the Kings, certainly one of them.
Yeah, it's right up there. I mean, forget about the opponent. I'm talking about just the way they went out and played. Harrison Barnes getting, you know, a career high. Obviously, the Warriors, sort of a rival, you know, depending on who you talk to. It was one of the more exciting games of the year. Like, this was a heavyweight battle. Mm-hmm. Both teams, I thought, played at their best, played at their height. And Kings came out with a win. And how many times have we seen them go against Steph Curry and these Warriors play well enough to win, but drop the ball, fumble the bag at the end?
Yeah.
It was the Warriors. It was Steph.
Who literally dropped
the ball, turned the game over, and the Kings were able to get a win.
I feel like whatever had been dragging the Kings down for the last two games, but especially last night, I don't know, whatever it was, whatever it is, it feels like it's gone. And you had the two missed free throws last night by Herder.
Right.
Then he goes down and traps Steph and played really well defensively, and they won the game anyway. And it just seemed, you know, Domas after the game, joking around with the coach in the media conference. It just seemed like the Kings are playing with joy again. I don't. That's how it looks.
And just like that, and it turned quickly. And, you know, I saw some of the post-game, you know, press conferences with De'Aaron's wife, mm-hmm. Domas's wife, Mike Brown. And I'm like, is this a regular? Like, yeah. It just felt like the cloud was lifted,
yes,
right? Like,
yes.
It was a celebration yesterday. Like, all the angst, the anger, the, you know. Because when you look at it, sure, you beat Atlanta. But there was a lot of people questioning Mike Brown's rotation. A lot of people questioning why De'Aaron Fox and Harrison Barnes aren't meeting with the media and all this. It just had a stale feel around the organization. And one win last night, now it seems like it's back to sunshine and rainbows. That flight to Dallas that they're on right now feels a whole lot better. And you're right, man. You know, you go on social media right now, it's just a love fest, yeah. Like a love affair that's going on.
Yeah, speaking of social media, I appreciated what you posted last night. The video of exclusive footage of HB cooking Klay Thompson.
Dude, who knew?
That's good.
I'm like, how's TNT? Did you see that? TNT had it on the show. Like, when they started their post-game show, they had my tweet. And I'm like, how'd they find that? Like,
oh, I didn't even realize that. Oh,
yeah.
I saw it. Okay.
You know how they begin
that's
the show
awesome.
With the tweet? And it was like, Kyle Draper. Kyle Draper says, live look at Harrison Barnes cooking Klay Thompson.
That's awesome.
And my guy Charles Barkley is like, you know what? I agree with Kyle. That's a good point, Kyle. You're right about that. He was cooking them. He was eating, feasting last night. And that
we
was
have
the,
that audio?
I didn't even know that this was
either.
A thing.
Well,
you didn't know?
If I had seen it in the moment, I totally would have grabbed it.
Yeah. Bro, you didn't know?
No, there was a lot going on in here while the TNT postgame was going on.
I know Kyle had some sound, and I didn't know if that was some of it.
No,
like I said, I didn't know that, but I still saw it, and I still thought it was really funny.
Yeah, it was. So, and they picked it up last night to lead their show off, and I was like, the whole – our girl Simone saw it last night.
I texted you right away. Congratulated
exactly.
you.
Yeah,
you're national.
I made it big time. I thought this was the big time sitting across from this guy right here.
I'm
but
scared
man.
Of you, big dog.
Your entire career was building to this point where Charles Barkley agreed with you on television.
And you know what's so messed up about it is if that's the high point of my career... Like, is that it? Am I done now?
You've called NBA playoff games. Let's not get too
that's
far.
True. That's true. You're right about it. You're right.
I wonder now, you know, Monday's going to, I'm not going to go in there and hang out with you.
man.
That's tremendous. So another feel-good element to what the Kings did last night. And then somebody on Twitter, you know, I said a couple things about Harrison Barnes, and someone tweeted back and said, yeah, and it's like the strangest thing ever. And it is, isn't it?
It really is.
Great for Harrison Barnes, and I'm not in any way demeaning it or anything. It's just like, what in the world is going on?
And the crazy thing, too, guys, is it wasn't like he had a great game. He had a career game off of a 32-point game. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, the most points HB has scored in back-to-back games since, like, 2016 or something like that, I read. And the fact that, and I looked this up here. I was looking at the box score. Occasionally I do that, Whitey. The fact that last night against the Golden State Warriors, Harrison Barnes took 24 shots, 12 of them threes. He took more threes than everybody took shots on the team except De'Aaron Fox. Like, think about it. Keegan Murray had 12 total shots. Mm-hmm. DeMontis, 11 total shots. Herter, 10 total shots. Harrison Barnes had 12 threes by himself. Only De'Aaron Fox had more total attempts than Harrison Barnes had threes.
Yeah, like, and made more than half of them.
Back-to-back games where he's led the team in shot attempts. It's bizarro world. Let's call it what it is. This is the Matrix we're living in. Is this real life? And I hope so. I hope we see this Harrison Barnes going forward. And as he was putting on the show the last couple of games, I'm just sitting back watching, like, where are those Harrison Barnes haters at right now? My guy has delivered. Can he do this night in and night out? No, of course not.
He's not Michael Jordan.
He's not Jordan. I mean, that would be a Hall of Famer. But he needs to be aggressive. He needs to be impactful. And what I saw the last two games, I loved what I saw from Harrison.
Yeah, it does seem like the offense got away from him. You know, last year, there were times he averaged, 15 a game, and his numbers were very solid. There were times when they'd go to him when they needed a basket, and it seemed like he got off to the slow start, and it seemed like that just wasn't part of the offense anymore.
No, right. It just seemed like he was just a corner guy or something like that. Just stand in the corner, let everybody else cook, let Keegan cook, De'Aaron Fox. And I said it during the crossover. Sometimes, and Harrison Barnes is a veteran, 12 years, he knows this. Sometimes you got to go out there and take it. Sometimes you can't just wait for shots to come to you. Sometimes you got to go out there and take it. And I thought right from the jump of both these two games, he went out there and took it. And the fact that we talked about it, Brandon Pajemski, he had the mismatch. Like, that's two games in a row where Harrison Barnes is like, I got this little guy on me. Give me the ball on the block. Let me go to work. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know what's gotten into him. I don't know if he's had a talking to. Somebody sat him down. Somebody lit a fire under him. But, man, he's playing arguably these two games, the best two games of his career.
I don't know if we're going to find out the answer, but you're right. There's a story there somewhere. And maybe, like Fox said last night, maybe it's like, you know what? He got himself going, and then we go to him. Maybe it just kind of happened naturally. I doubt it. I mean, at some point there had to be a, hey, let's give the ball to him. Or he said that. Or somehow somebody decided the offense isn't clicking. We need to adjust something. There's a real story there. I just don't know that we're ever going to find out the real answer.
Well, here's the thing, and I've always believed this, and you tell me if you agree or disagree, you can't. Certain players, you have to get involved. You have to draw plays up for. If not, they won't.
Right.
They'll be Harrison Barnes standing in the corner.
Right.
And so as a coach, if I'm Mike Brown, I'm thinking, you know what? Let me get HB going early. Let me get him going early. I don't have to worry about calling plays for De'Aaron Fox. I shouldn't have to worry about calling plays for Keegan Murray or Kevin. Those guys are going to get, but the guys I need to get going, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
There's a guy, Josh Childress, good friend of mine, played with the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Really good player. But he was sort of passive offensively. I wished Mike Woodson, who was the coach at the Hawks at that time, would take a game or two and say, you know what? Josh, you're too important. I'm going to run the offense through you. 20 shots tonight, Josh. That's what I want. Because then you get the guys involved, you get them going, and something's got into Harrison Barnes. Like you said, I don't know if somebody talked to him. Mike Brown drew up some plays. They decided to feature him more. I have no idea. But you can't deny the Harrison Barnes we've saw the last two games, we haven't seen it that much this season. Maybe only the opener. But I feel like this is different than the opener. I felt like I said, the opener, he took what was given to him. You know, he went out and got it these last two games.
Give me the ball. And they're like, yeah, of course we will.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep. And he's so cool about it. Do we have the audio, Kyle, post-game last night? Harrison Barnes with Jared Greenberg going to play it for you. And it's not really, he doesn't say anything, but that's the point. After this monstrous game he has, monster game, Harrison Barnes so low-key and so cool last night.
Through, play some clutch basketball as well.
I mean, he's an all-star in this league. He's an all-NBA player. Him and Domas, I've been carrying our team, you know, the last two seasons. So, you know, hopefully they continue to keep up that play and are rewarded as such.
Last question for you. There's been questions about, for obvious reasons, about this team's defense. The last two possessions, you got two stops. Does that show that you guys can, in big moments, play and tough defense?
Absolutely. You know, we know that defense is something we got to improve on. Tonight was a good example of what we can do, and we just got to just build from there.
Harrison, congratulations on the career high.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Asked about the offense, he said, we just have opportunities, and we're taking advantage of them.
Right. Just whatever the defense gives us, we're taking it. Yeah. I'm like, come on, dude. No way. Like, the way 7 3-pointers he made last. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just the 39 points. It's actually, you know what? I'm going to take 24 shots in this game, which is crazy for Harrison Barnes to be doing that, because we just haven't seen that from him really in his time in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. I love it whenever a team, in this case the Kings, when you have six guys in double figures, the shot selection is a little more democratic and not quite so Fox and Sabonis centric. You know, it's just they're harder to guard.
They are.
When everyone scores, everybody's a threat.
Right, exactly.
And Davion Mitchell.
How about my guy, Davion Mitchell? Yes. He was, if you believe in plus minus, he was the best player on the floor, plus 13. So in his minutes, 15 minutes and change, he was a plus 13 for the Sacramento Kings. And he was a difference maker. His defense, his shot making. I think he started out 3 for 3 from three range last night. And so this is the bench. This is the team that we thought we had.
Yes.
You know, like
there
this is, that's Kevin Huerter. How about that? A double-double for Kevin Huerter. And so, no, it's encouraging, man. And, you know, I said it the other day, this 7-game road trip can make or break their season. It looks like, based on the vibes, that they're going to be trending in the right direction, which is encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Do we have some Drapes takes to look forward
to? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I always got a hot take.
That's next for you here with the Drive Guys on this wonderful Friday. Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Right now on ESPN, there's a graphic about somebody sounding off on the slumping Kings. We got guys in this room who are too worried about themselves. They're talking about the hockey team.
Look at you. Come on now.
Wow. What an incredible win for the Kings last night. It was the type of game, I think, even if you were kind of a casual fan, and I know people listening here in Sacramento, we don't have a lot of those, but I think even for a casual fan, it'd be the type of game where, ooh, I don't want to miss any of this.
Yes. Yeah, it really was that high-octane, high-level game. Largest Kings lead, 11. Warriors' largest lead, 4. And I'll get to this in Drape Shakes. I thought the first quarter was very telling, and I'll tell you why coming up in just a little bit.
All right, we'll get right to that first. To the phones we go, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's start with Doug on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Doug, what's up?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. What's up, Doug?
Good. That was nice that we were able to get a win yesterday, and the way that we got it and got stops in the last two times, not so good on not making the free throws when it was clutch. So we're getting better, but that was tough, and I wanted to put my two cents in on Harrison Barnes. And I've said this for the last 3 or 4 years that I've been calling in. If you give the guy touches and he decides that he's going to shoot, you're going to get what you're going to get. But he goes in, and if he passes the ball a lot and doesn't get a lot of shots up and stuff, then, well, you're not going to get a lot with that. So I just think that he's done what I think that he could do given the amount of touches. And if Fox is not having to put up 20 or 25 or 30 points and it's spread out between him and Huerter and Murray and Monk and Mitchell, you know, hey, we look like a whole team. And I just hope that we continue on with the rest of this road trip. And that's all I got. Go Niners.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Yeah, if you look at, you know, usage rate and shots and things.
Yep.
Last two games, Harrison Barnes is up, of course.
Yeah.
Jaren Fox down a little bit.
Down a little bit.
And the offense is much more productive than it had been. I don't think that's a coincidence. Now, of course, as you said, as we all know, Harrison Barnes is not going to score 39.
Yeah.
Almost 40,
right?
Yeah.
Almost 40.
Yeah, but a more balanced offense, I think, serves his team. Ken on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Ken. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good. What's up, Ken?
So, with Harrison Barnes, 2 years ago, before Coach Brown, they tried him at power forward. And after about 20 or 30 games, we saw pretty quickly that his offense just went right down the tubes, and they stopped doing that. This year, it seems as if he's basically playing power forward because Keegan's now guarding the wings. And all of a sudden, there goes Harrison Barnes' offense. He's not able to get what we need from him the most, those tough baskets down low. And he's not getting his shots. But look at the two players he played against the past two games. Basically small forwards. Mm. He's still a really good ball player, but I think he's being played out of position.
Interesting, Ken. Thank you.
Well, Ken's 100% right. Remember, we had Doug Christie on. And Doug Christie, that's one thing he said. You know, when it's Harrison Barnes, and he had texted me about this, mm-hmm. I said, what are we missing when it comes to Harrison Barnes? What's not showing up in the box where he said, well, first of all, we're asking him to play out of position. Harrison Barnes naturally is a small forward. Like, that's it. He's not a power forward in today's NBA. He's not going to, you know, but I think Keegan's more of a power forward, but Mike Brown likes Keegan's defense on smaller players. We saw it with Steph Curry. And so, yeah, Harrison Barnes totally playing out of position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before we get to Drape 6, one more comment here. BV50 asking, Kyle, did you play basketball in high school?
Yeah, high school. Yes, no doubt about it. One of the great teams in Philadelphia. My Parkway Hoyas, 21-4
wow.
My senior year. We lost to Franklin Learning Center, who had Ty Weeks, who went on to play at UMass. We lost to Rasheed Wallace's Simon Gratz team. Mm-hmm. We lost to a team from Sacramento, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I forget which team name it was. It was a team from Sacramento.
Wow.
We played in a tournament, and they beat us. And then a team from Pennsylvania, Chester, PA, beat us as well. Yeah,
all right.
So, yeah, I
good
did.
Question.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely he did. He threw one of the greatest passes in history to Rasheed Wallace in AAU Summer League deal. Rasheed had no idea it was a pass, but...
Hey, it was Magic Johnson-esque, you know, because that was my guy, Magic Johnson, Showtime. So I had a Showtime break, lobbed it up for Sheed, and he yacked it home. And so it was the greatest assist I've ever had. Sheed thought it was a bad shot. Like, he thought I just missed the shot. He's like, what kind of shot was that, Dre? But it was actually a pass, Rasheed.
So. All right.
I'm going to my grave with that one. It was a pass.
I'm buying it. Stand by. Here they come. It's Drape's Takes. Buckle up.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Kings fans, what a day it is to be alive. Our Sacramento Kings are back. You see the joy at which the post-game press conference, Mike Brown, you had family members, you had Domantas Sabonis smiling. The Kings are back. And here's when I knew that they were going to win this game, Whitey. I mentioned it earlier. The first quarter, Steph Curry was putting on a show. He was cooking. It was the best we've seen from Steph Curry since Game 7. He had 18 first quarter points, but guess what? The Kings were still on top 40-32. To me, that was the only way the Warriors could win, is if they had a superhuman effort from Steph. He tried, but the Kings were able to overcome that. When they had that lead in the first quarter with Steph going off like that, I was like, oh, we're in good business. We're good.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I said yesterday I was afraid Steph would go off because of the All-Star thing, and he started to go off, and then Kings did a good job of cooling him off.
Cooling him off, just 13 of 26, 6 of 14 from the three-point line, 33 points. So that's my first Drape's Takes. Secondly, De'Aaron Fox is back. But here's what I mean by back. And I hope De'Aaron's listening. Rasé, somebody's listening to this. For De'Aaron Fox, it's not about the 29 points. It's not about averaging 30 points. The reason why De'Aaron Fox was so great last year was because he came through in a timely fashion. When they needed it, he brought it. I thought last night, not the greatest first half. You know, kind of coasting a little bit. Did okay. But then those back-to-back step-in threes late in the game, that's what I need from De'Aaron Fox. When the game's on the line, when the game hangs in the balance, I need the cream to rise to the top. And he was the best player down the stretch, him and Harrison Barnes. He outdueled Steph Curry down the stretch last night.
Also made all 8 of his free throws.
What? Say that again, Whitey?
De'Aaron Fox made all 8 of his free throws last night.
Hey, and since the free throw woes out there in Milwaukee and Phoenix, and then against Indiana. The Kings have done a great job at the free throw line. Our boy Kevin Huerter might need to get in the gym a little early today to get up some shots. Those were two rough misses, but you're right about that. As a team, they're shooting the free throws better these last two games.
Yeah, did you hear Fox was actually, he said he was making fun of Huerter after the game, and Huerter made fun of him and said, well, at least when I missed two, we won the game.
Yes. That's good stuff. All right, my third and final. Nah, you know what? I'm going to have a bonus one coming take. Up. My third Drapes take is, how about my guy Davion Mitchell? Some of you guys wanted to bury him. Some of you guys wanted to trade him. Davion Mitchell, all he needs is confidence, a belief from the coaching staff that, you know what, here's your role. You're going to play these minutes. Mike Brown, the last couple of games, let him rock, and we're seeing the best of Davion. I thought he was tremendous last night. That move he did on Klay Thompson, pulling the chair out from under him, Klay trying to body him. Davion just backed up. Klay flips up a wild shot. Like, Davion Mitchell is a solid NBA player, a good backup player. And if he can knock down the threes, I'm not asking him to shoot 45%. The open ones, if he can knock those down, he should be on the floor for this Kings team.
We know he did a lot of work in the offseason on his three-point shot, and he made it last night, and it looks pretty.
It looks pretty, exactly. He worked with Brandon Payne, Steph Curry's shooting coach, this offseason. And when he releases it, it looks great. It looks like it's going in, and it's good to see him going on. Mm-hmm. And my fourth and final Drapes take, and this is going to be a quick one, Whitey. I'm not going to delve too deep into this because we've talked about this guy a lot already. Harrison Barnes haters, where you at? Where you at right now? Crickets, call in, give me the smoke, because you ain't got nothing to say about my guy right now. HB was on the JOB the last two games, and we're not going to get 39 from him. But Harrison Barnes, I say it during the broadcast, he's not always there when you call, but he's always on time. Last couple of games, he has been on time, and I need to see not this HB, I need to see an aggressive HB. I don't need to see 39-point HB. I need to see an aggressive HB. I think we need to just keep our mouths shut. Leave Harrison Barnes out your mouth, haters, because this guy is an important part of this team.
I think it's also possible that some of his teammates owe him an apology for his coaching
style. I think so.
Maybe we should have given you the ball.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you.
Uh-huh. That Drapes takes for now?
That's it. That's
all right.
I'm done. I'm hot
things.
Now. I'm
Thank
sweating.
Thank you.
Yep.
People are mentioning here on the chat something we talked about very at the very top of the show, but it's worth repeating, the fact that Kyle Draper had a tweet last night that TNT picked up. So that's...
How about is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's big time. And, you know, we talked about it, but some people saying, hey, did you guys see that? And so that was...
Yes.
It was... Who was... Was it a famous chef or just somebody in
a Gordon Ramsay. Was it... I forget who. It was either Gordon Ramsay
or
Chef Emeril Lagasse. That's right. Yeah, right, that's who it was. Emeril Lagasse.
Yeah.
He was cooking up some pies or whatever it is. And did you see Harrison Barnes back-to-back possessions on Klay Thompson? I thought Klay Thompson was supposed to be this all-world defender. Well, those days are long gone because Harrison Barnes had him for lunch. And that's why I sent that tweet. That was great to see.
Yeah, and congratulations. I think if you're a Warrior fan, I mean, it's staring you right in the face. As you said, Steph cooled off, and then you could argue that Klay and Draymond were real instrumental in the fact that the Kings won that game.
You could argue that, right?
Yeah. I mean, Klay was 5-for-14. And Draymond, he was 0-for-3.
He had the 11 assists, so people will point to that. But
the end of the game, when the Warriors are hoping to get a pick and roll, Huerter was brilliant. He realizes, I'm not going to guard him. I'm going to double step.
Double step.
I don't need to guard Draymond Green.
You don't have to. You know what? If Draymond beats you, you live with that. But you've seen this movie before with Steph Curry.
Yeah.
You know, especially with that much time left on the clock, you know, it would have had to been a quick pass and a rush three-pointer from Draymond. Brilliant decision-making by Kevin Huerter and the coaching staff and the defense there.
And you mentioned Davion, and there's, I don't know, a story today going around that the Kings have made Davion available. Well, if you look at it, what it is Jake Fisher, in one of his pieces, at the very end of his piece on guards and the guard market, he just had team by team, and he says, we know that the Kings have made Davion Mitchell available. We've known that since the Pascal Siakam thing. So it's being presented today as if it's the Kings have announced he's available. There's nothing new on that.
Nothing new.
The only new thing, maybe, they may have to rethink that the way he's
been
playing lately.
Right, and Davion has been playing great these last two games. And here's the question. What do you want, Kings fans, from your backup point guard? I think what we've seen from Davion, if he plays like we've saw the last two games, I'm taking that. I'm good with that.
Yes. Me too. Yeah. When we come right back, yeah, what in the world is going on with Harrison Barnes? And we have a Debo update Sunday next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Debo is playing on Sunday. How about that? You don't have to worry about it. I know yesterday you were a little nervous, I admit. Emil tweeting and sharing with us that Debo Samuel's off the injury report, so he's good to go against the Lions on Sunday. So this thing is over. It is all over.
Don't be like that, dude. Don't be objective, Whitey.
Okay, in my opinion, this thing is over.
I know, right? Tell me why it's over. Like, was it over last week when they played the Packers?
Well, they won. So
barely. Yeah. Thanks to Jordan Love and the worst pass in NFL history.
Yeah, but Debo didn't play much in that game. That's the point.
You know what?
Do you disagree with me?
Yes,
you think the Lions are going to win?
I think the Lions have a very good chance of winning. Because this is, and you should know better, a veteran sports journalist like yourself, someone who's covered multiple sports. You've been to playoff games. You've been to championship games. You understand. You need to respect your opponent.
I don't, because they're not my opponent. No, but I'm not playing them.
No, I'm telling you right now. Dan Campbell's on the plane flying out right now listening to our show. And he's like, oh, you see how they're treating us? They think it's over already. We're giving them bulletin board material.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what I say.
No, you got to respect your opponent, though.
They're not my opponent. Dude, I'm not playing.
This is the problem. Niners fans, where's my single shot? Right here. Niners fans, I got a quick message for you. Listen up. This your boy Drapes. You know, I'm ride or die Sacramento Kings. That's my squad. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. But I'm going to tell you from past experience, as a sports journalist, as a guy who's worked in East Coast, Midwest, down South, whatever, you're setting yourselves up for a major fall. Please be humble. Please respect the Detroit Lions. Please don't already start booking your tickets and hotel rooms to Vegas for the Super Bowl. Let it play out. Because if your team loses, you're going to be crying. You're going to be upset. Like the fall from grace.
Eagles fan. Eagles fan.
But you know what? I was realistic about my Eagles. Sure. I respected the opponent.
Right.
You know, it's like how many times have we seen, oh, my gosh, this team, oh, we're going to mop the floor with them. And then we lose. And it's like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't set yourself up for that, Niners fans. Be poor, hungry, and driven. PhD, like Rick Pitino says. Humble.
Have fun.
Humility.
Do whatever you need
ever
to
heard
do
of
to
that?
Enjoy the game.
Don't be the arrogant warriors down the street. That's not us. that's not what we do up in this neck of the woods, up in the Sacramento area. Don't do that. Niners fans, don't become Warriors fans. Stay humble, please. That's all I'm asking.
Debo is playing. That's good news. Speaking of being humble, on the text line here, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Speaking of being humble, did Kyle just compare himself to Magic Johnson? Ask Kyle about playing in Celtics media games. That's from the 617.
617, yeah. Somebody in Boston.
Yeah, so speaking of being humble, yeah, you did compare yourself to Magic Johnson, right?
Yeah. Magic Johnson, I patterned my life after Magic Johnson. Well, minus a couple of things,
sure,
obviously, but
right.
Magic was my guy. And so, yes, you know, I threw the Magic alley-oop. It was more.
That's really interesting. And I'm not making fun. You being from Philly.
Yes.
You know, that's interesting because Philly and the Lakers.
Yeah. But, you know, I came up, you know, I was born in 75. 83 was my first basketball memory. It was the Sixers beating the Lakers. But at that time, Moses Malone. But at the time, it felt like it was only Bird and Magic. Like, those were the two guys of my era, and you had to choose one. And, of course, I was choosing the Magic, man. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I was a Cowboys fan, too, back then. Tony Dorsett.
You don't need to keep reminding people
No, because
of that. I understand it. But, I'm okay with it, but...
But you know, this is... You're learning a lot about me here, Whitey, and let me tell you why. I don't follow what everybody else is doing. I'm here in Sacramento, home of the Niners, rocking Eagles, like riding... Because
Gonzaga.
Then. Exactly. Not St. Mary's. I'm rocking Gonzaga. You know, and that's just how I am, man. I'm dare to be different. That was my middle school motto.
James from the G1C says, shout out to Kyle Draper for the shout out by Charles Barkley to Kyle last night on TNT basketball after the Kings win. Yeah, I know we mentioned that already, but that's definitely worth mentioning.
Right.
A number of times today.
How many times are we going to mention it during the show?
No, every block. Every block. Yeah, we're going to bump back with that. Why not?
Yeah.
Because I'm not creative when it comes to social media and stuff like that. So I'm not Josiah Johnson who's made a living out of stuff like that. And so I just threw out a tweet and it's like, dang, okay. They thought it was cool enough to actually put up. So that felt good. And my kids were sitting there watching it with me. And they were like, Dad, you're famous. I was like, yeah, I've been telling you that for 5 years now. So
who's your friend from the 617?
Kevin Miller is his name. Former boss at NBC Sports
really?
Boston. Yeah. You know what it is? I used to put in work against him on the basketball court, kick his butt. Took him to school on the golf course this past year. So this is his way of getting back.
So what am I supposed to ask you about playing in the Celtics media game? I know Scalabrini.
I was good. Scal flattened me that time, but outside, and that was a charge. But outside of that, your boy was getting buckets back in the day.
Okay.
I'm a little out of shape now, but back, come on, man. I'm a competitor, Whitey. Like, I'm.
See, because I think you and me should challenge every other show, certainly Styles and Watkins.
And what? 2-on-2?
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Uh-huh.
Half court, right? Yeah, just half court. Yeah, we should.
Kind of hard to play full court 2-on-2.
No. Dude, I've played full court 1-on-1 before.
Yeah.
Like, but Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross. Frankie Carnicelli and Brandon Nunez.
I got Dave.
You got Dave. Dave ain't running. He's not.
I know.
Dave, I'm down for that. Let's do that.
Station tournament.
Tournament.
All right.
What do you get if you win? Like a little trophy or something?
I think everybody would be afraid of you and me, actually. I don't think anybody wants a piece of this.
Yeah, I agree.
Hi.
Yeah.
There's me.
Who's your partner?
That's the problem. I'm kind of a roaming
Simone?
Nomad here. I'll take Simone. Simone's never played basketball before. I'll take Simone
there
and
you
win.
Go.
All
there
she needs is her little, what, Henrietta or whatever, her voodoo doll skeleton.
It's a skeleton.
Skeleton.
We don't know if there's any
put
black
the hex
magic
on us.
I have volunteered to offer the Mahomes jersey. She doesn't want to test fate with Mahomes.
We'll see if we need it down the road, yeah. I mentioned that with Harrison Barnes surging now offensively, De'Aaron Fox is, I mean, he's still very scoring a lot.
Yes.
He's maybe a little more efficient. Fox, in the last two games combined, has taken 32 shots.
Mm.
He's averaging 21 a game, which is a career high. And it seems like there's a little more balance, whether that's by design or it's by accident or it's just a matter of recognizing what HB's doing. I don't know, but it's happening, and the offense is thriving, and it seems to be one of the factors that has lifted the gloom from the whole team.
And I love it. This is the De'Aaron Fox version that I want, and I mentioned it during Drape's Takes. Like, he doesn't have to take all the shots. He just has to take the big ones, the timely ones, when we need them. You know, the mark of a great player, Whitey, and you know this as well as, you know, I do, great players can get their shots anytime. They can get their buckets anytime. A lot of great players, their goal is to get the other guys going first. Because once the other guys get going, then that makes your job even easier. And then in the clutch, like we saw last year, De'Aaron Fox took
when your
over.
Team needs the
when,
buckets,
when you
that's
need
when you
the buckets, now give it to Fox, get out of the way. And so I think what we're seeing from De'Aaron, hopefully this is what we're seeing these last two games, for the Kings to be at their best, they're going to be a need an engaged Harrison Barnes. And so as a leader of this team, if I'm De'Aaron Fox, I'm saying, you know what? HB's a hell of a player, but he's not being aggressive. I'm going to do what I can to get him involved. I'm not going to take all the shots. And I think what you're seeing is just the growth of De'Aaron Fox, really, just the development.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still learning to be the guy, the A1 on a playoff contending
team.
There's
a lot involved with that.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so I don't need De'Aaron Fox shooting 21, 22 times per game. 17, I'll take. 17, 18 is good. Now, if we could get Harrison Barnes up a little, I think that's where it helps the team overall.
I know this is like, wait a minute, it's not what you said yesterday. The way he's playing right now, I don't feel like they need to trade Harrison Barnes. I mean, if a deal comes along that's great, okay. But given what we know is out there, what we think we know is out there, given the way Davion and Harrison Barnes are playing right now, I don't feel that same sense of urgency. That I don't feel that the Kings, wow, they better make a move. I don't know.
Two games, is that all it took for you to feel that way?
Well, it's the two games plus the fact, as I say, that there's not that one move out there that looks like, yep, that's surefire.
No Jeremy Grant.
A lot of risk involved with this contract.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. All right. I'm with you on that. You know, but here's the problem. If we're going to get an engaged Harrison Barnes, which I hope we will get, then I'm 100% right, agree. Now, if I'm going to get the Harrison Barnes.
The disappearing man, invisible man.
Yeah. Then you know what? We're trying to win the championship. But if you look at his last two games, 24 shots, 22 shots. The game before that, Indiana, two shot attempts.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
You know, you remember that?
I've looked
two
at
shot attempts.
Too.
Nine shot attempts. You know, if I'm Harrison Barnes, he's averaging, what, 8.2 shots per game, I think it is, 8 point something. I need that to be around 10. I need him to be around 10. I need Kevin Herter to be around 11, 12.
I don't know what it was last year, but I have to check that, and I'm not going to put
I got it right here. Yeah. What, his shot attempts last year?
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes
around
last 11? Year, 9.6.
Okay.
So it's gone down each of the last 4 years. 2020, 21, 11.1, 10.8, 9.6, 8.2. The problem is, he's efficient when he shoots. He's shooting 41% from three. And so if you're that efficient, you should be, sorry, Mike Brown, running plays for Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. Like, HB should be getting
That's
his numbers
Jerry
called.
Said. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
things, you know, good things happen when he plays well, you know. And so I hope this is the start of something, you know, a streak here for HB. Not necessarily 39, but give me a double-digit streak for HB.
What's your guess of how the Kings go? Two ways here.
Yep.
Either, wow, he's playing great, we don't need to trade him, or, wow, he's playing well, now he's got more value, and now it's easier to trade him.
That's tough. That's tough, because I go back to what you said. What's out there? What's the package looking like? Is it a clear upgrade? I don't know.
They're playing, I think they would be inclined to hang on to him at this point.
Yeah, I would.
I know a lot of fans right now are going, no! Right?
I think this next week, this road trip, will tell us a lot. You know, you got this road trip wraps up on a Tuesday, I believe, or Monday, and we come back Tuesday, whatever it is. We got one game back at home against Detroit before the trade deadline. I don't think that game is going to impact whether we make a move. I think these next five games or so, this next week is critical, I think, for how this franchise, how this roster looks. If HB can continue, give me 13, 14, 15 points a night, then to your point, I don't see a need in making
a
big
splash. I've solved the problem without really
right.
doing anything.
Maybe I go out and get a Matisse Thybulle or somebody like that to shore up the bench a little more.
Oh, when we come back, Domas faced some friendly fire in his post-game interview. How do you handle it? That's next. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sport.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Yeah, we appreciate it on the chat here. Of course, people talking about the Kings and HB. Also talking about this tournament we're trying to put together.
2v2?
Yeah, yeah. Roy Seeley says Manny. He's talking to Manny Too Legit. Dave and Jay would sell more tickets. And Nick K. and Rippin says Drape's going to need to have some New England Patriot humble pie. After the matchup? Come on. Yeah, Compio wow. Styles and Watkins wouldn't have a chance. Whitey and Draper just would use their size.
That's advantage. True. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Styles better be Steve Kerr or Steph Curry from three-point range, because I'm going to block everything he puts up. No doubt about it. You see our guy Kyle behind me.
Yeah.
Let me say this. I'm the only person you'll ever see playing out at Roosevelt Park anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm out there, you know, every week, every other week, running games with people. I've never seen any of you guys out
I'll
there.
Come
That's
out
all
there.
I'm
Let's
say.
Go. You tell me when.
You want to run?
I'll lace up the Chuck Taylors. What you got? Let me know. I'll come out there.
You're a celebrity. You want to come out and play with just the random guys out there at Roosevelt?
I play at Lifetime not all the time, but I put in work in Lifetime in Folsom.
Nice.
You know? I miss
people
outdoor
go out there.
I haven't played outdoor basketball in about
15,
20 years. So it's been a while.
It is one of the things you play basketball, you can tell guys get older, because sometimes hey, the gym's closed, we'll play outside. And some guy's like, no, I'm not doing that.
My knees hurt just thinking about that.
This is the season for it, though. It's from like March till about October, you'll see people running outside. And then when it's like this time of the year, people are like, I'm just going to go to the 24-hour fitness or whatever it
is. Noah from West Sac, Kyle's partner should be Katie Christensen, an attorney.
You down with that?
Oh, me and Katie would win, no question.
No question. I'll foul a girl. I'll tell you that. I will foul a girl. It doesn't matter.
That wasn't my concern.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Exactly, right? I will hack Katie.
You give me a professional basketball player, we're running the table. Running the table with
our
you guys.
Guy Compio says, Kyle, show them your dunk video. I have not seen this video.
We'll find it. It's on Dave's Twitter somewhere.
Right, I would love to see this.
You're going to be disappointed. You know, you'd think one thing you'd think about a dunk video is there's a dunk in it. So you would be disappointed with it.
I just want to see him move with the basketball. I could tell a lot by how a guy moves with the basketball.
He reminds me, you know, he's got a basketball body.
Okay.
Very languid. He reminds me of Lori Markkanen on Quaaludes. That's what that would be my scatter.
Really? Yes. Okay.
That's
kind of
from what I've seen.
Depending on the people you're playing with, I'll be somewhere between one position, a point guard to a center, depending on who you're playing with.
Yeah. That's off the top of my head.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Domas last night, you know, everybody was all smiles with the Kings after that win last night. And Domas is doing his post game in San Francisco at the Chase Center.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's fielding questions from his own coach, Mike Brown, who was seated in the back.
Were you thinking about dinner plans with your wife, with your beautiful wife tonight, at any part during the game?
Definitely not.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and then do we have the one where he asked about JaVale McGee? Yeah, okay. He also he asked Domas about... JaVale McGee didn't play tonight. I don't know. The coach just kicked him to the curb or whatever. What kind of teammate is JaVale McGee? And Domas said, well, I had to calm him down on the bench. So they had some laughs out of that. But also, Domas was fielding questions from De'Aaron Fox's wife.
Sabby, I have one question for you. Do you know where your wife sits every game?
Yes, I know. I know where she sits every
game. And how many, after every bucket, do you do an ode to her?
Probably every bucket.
Every bucket. We love it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
It was very silly. The point is everybody's just having so much fun.
Unbelievable, right? Like, I don't remember this of any team I've coached. Like, after a regular season win in January, it felt like a huge weight was lifted off everyone's shoulders. You beat the Warriors. You actually play a great game. You outduel Steph Curry. Domas, you know, I thought played fantastic last night. And so it's just everything's all good now, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's forgotten this last few weeks with the angst, the media and all that. That's all water under the bridge, right?
Yeah. You know what else was cool is that we played that, you know, everybody was having some fun. But Coach and De'Aaron Fox's misses there, they let the media ask their questions first.
Right.
Because they know
some
of these guys are – I know it doesn't always seem like it, but some of these guys are working, and I was respectful that they waited till that part was done before they had their fun.
I will say, because you rarely see spouses in the post in a press conference.
Never seen that.
Like very, but Chase Center is the one, outlier the way it's set up, you know, because it's sort of like in the back loading dock area or the hall, you know, it's like very easily accessible. You know, you walk by and you can see the curtain. You can
ever
see
get
it
lost
right
in
there.
The catacombs there?
Oh, I hate that place.
Yeah. Someday they're going to open a room. There's going to be like 15 skeletons.
Seriously.
There
it doesn't make sense. Like you would think most arenas, you'd be able to walk around, right? You know, like you do at Golden One Center. You could just walk around. No, you got to make left turns, right turns, go down. Like I have no idea. I just know how to get when we arrive to the media room and then to our seats. Like, I don't know anywhere else. I don't even know where the Warriors locker room is. I know where Steve Kerr, but it's a hard place to navigate. Even on the concourse level, too, is kind of difficult.
Yeah, it's a little tricky.
Yeah.
It's a little tricky. Domas last night at 18 points. He had 8 rebounds and 13 assists. And we talked yesterday about how that narrative that, the Warriors have figured him out, it's not true. And it's just it continues to be so impressive the way he's just so consistent and all this drama swirling around this and that, and he's just doing his thing every game.
I thought Kevon Looney was the Sabonis killer.
Right,
he just was Looney, they couldn't even play Looney 16 minutes and change last night. And so I think that narrative, you know, is played out now. Sure, they did a good job against him in the playoffs. I think a lot of that had to do with Domas, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. pressing a little bit, some of his shortcomings. But this season, he's been dominating against the Warriors.
And he made that adjustment. Mm-hmm. And I know you talked to him all the time, talking to him on Media Day. He talked about how, yeah, when they play off me, I've got to hit that shot.
Yeah.
And he doesn't shoot it a lot, but last night he was 2 for 2 on his threes.
Yeah, it took, you know, I would have liked probably to see him take in the fourth quarter. He was a little, I don't want to say gun shy, burn anything like that, but there were some opportunities for him that he didn't take. He was looking for others. And so, but I thought for the most part, he was great. You know, he was instrumental orchestrating that offense out there. He was the quarterback of that offense, and he looked great last night.
What did you think of the foul call? Because it was very controversial. A lot of Kings fans were really upset on social media at the officiating. There's a play, I think, in the first half in which he picked up his third, and he went up, and he kind of crashed into Kuminga.
Oh, on a rebound?
Yeah. I'll tell you, honestly, at first I saw that, and I thought Kuminga's all over his back.
Yeah.
Second time, I thought Domas kind of tried to box him out as he was jumping.
Yeah.
And if I'm being honest, I had to say that probably is a foul.
I agree with you. Like, at first, I'm like, no, Kuminga's flying in.
Yeah, yeah.
But the very last angle they showed, I think it was from, you know, from the baseline, where you could see both guys, it looked clear that Domas was coming over.
Right.
And so I'm okay with that. I mean, you know, because, and also, there was a foul earlier than that. I think they gave it to Herter, and even the announcer said, oh, they gave that one to Herter. It looked like it should have been on Domas. And so I'm not sweating that. I'm not sweating that.
All right, when we come back, how the Kings saved their best defense for last to beat the Warriors. Next with the Drive Guys. Happy Friday. Sacktown Sports.